Amik of WacoBusinessNews.com, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today was a staple of your morning television routine before he moved into the banking sector. Dan Ingham, Vice President of Marketing and Communications for First National Bank of Central Texas, talks about how a decade plus at KWTX Channel 10 prepared him for life outside of the studio. But first, it's the word on the street. Jed Cole is a native son who has returned to Waco and has recently started Waco Hat Company. He's here in the Downtown Depot studio. Jed, welcome.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. This is exciting.
So tell me a little bit what you've been doing the last couple of years and why your focus is on Waco.
Yeah, so I grew up here. I graduated from Vanguard in 2009. I went just down the street to University of Texas for undergrad. And then I worked in Dallas for a couple of years before going back to grad school for the past 3 years. So I'm getting ready to wrap up grad school this spring, and I'll be moving back in June. Excited to get back and rejoin kind of the community that I grew up in, that I'm passionate about. And so Waco Hat Company is kind of a first step in doing something that I think is community-focused and kind of brings up all aspects of Waco.
So where did the idea for Waco Hat Company emerge?
Honestly, I've been on the West and the East Coast the past 3 years, and I'm really proud of Waco. I'm really passionate about Waco. I think that's something that most people that meet me outside of Texas know about me. And I would love to share a little bit of that passion and love for our city with other people. And I just couldn't find anything in Waco that really represented our city well. I mean, kind of everything our city's about, from, you know, the up and coming momentum that we have with Magnolia, but also, you know, the true fabric of our city and what folks like Mission Waco are doing. And so I felt like something like a Waco Hat Company could be really cool to help share the good news that's going on here in Waco, and kind of help represent our city.
And when you buy gear from Waco Hat Company, 100% of those proceeds go to Mission Waco. Jimmy Dorrell had him here on Downtown Depot doing terrific work in the community. How did the partnership between Waco Hat Company and Mission Waco begin?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I should have said that at the beginning. So we're 100% nonprofit, and all of the proceeds go to Mission Waco. I used to work with a group in Austin called Mobile Loaves and Fishes, and it's a nonprofit ministry targeted at the homeless population in Austin. And so as I'm moving back to Waco, that's something I was passionate about, and looking for a group that was doing the most similar work, and thought back actually to our time in high school when we got to go volunteer with Mission Waco, and Jimmy was running it back then and still doing awesome work over there now. And so, you know, Mission Waco's target is the poor and impoverished in our community and helping lift those up and bring our community together. So we, you know, couldn't think of a better group to support. My mom has done a bunch of work with them over the years, and she's my partner actually in working on this, which has been a really, really fun aside to it, is getting to jump into something with my mom that we're both really passionate about and, you know, give us something in common to work on together. So it's been really, really fun.
There are a ton of different styles of hats. You've got trucker hats, more of the dad hat, various colors. It works for any gender. Whether you're a hat wearer or not, this is something that'll look good on your head or on your shelf. How can people find Waco Hat Company?
Yeah, that's a great question. So our presence on Instagram is growing. Our website is wacohatcompany.com. And we are currently working on some retail presences. Pinewood Roasters has been kind enough to have some of our hats on their shelves the past week. It's been hard to keep the shelves stocked as they keep going pretty quickly. And then we're looking into some partnerships with a couple other local businesses that hopefully we'll be able to announce in the new year. It's been really neat, to your point of getting to think through different designs of hats for different people around Waco. There's the folks that want the trucker hats, and there's folks that want the, you know, rope hats. There's some that want these new kind of trendy runner hats. And so it's been really fun to kind of put myself in the shoes of the different pockets of people that we have around town and try to think what would they most like to, you know, wear to represent the city that they love.
Jed Cole from Waco Hat Company talking to you about the perfect stocking stuffer this holiday season. Jed, thank you so much for coming to Downtown Depot.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Big news around these parts is that starting on January 5th, you'll now hear Downtown Depot on KWBU at 11:30 a.m. The show is still twice a month on first and third Fridays, but we're bumping up half an hour to reach even more of you who head out for an early lunch and want to get all your downtown news while you do it. Baylor Connections will be a new program that takes our old-time slot at 11 a.m., and we'll be sandwiched in between that and the Texas Standard at noon. So that is a tasty two-hour window of programming here on KWBU, and I hope you'll make the jump with us. Of course, even if you forget about the time change starting in January, you can always download Downtown Depot on Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or on WacoBusinessNews.com. And in fact, if you head to WacoBusinessNews.com right now, you can read an article about Downtown Waco's newest drink truck. That's right, I didn't say food truck, and I'm not talking about desserts. Waco Business News reporter Caitlin Reaper broke the story that Bear Butcha, a local manufacturer of kombucha, that fermented tea with all those purported health benefits, has created its own kombucha van and debuted it at the farmer's market last weekend. There are 9 taps running along the side of the colorful van, and it dispenses Waco's only locally made kombucha. Reaper caught up with Toby Tull and Kelly Doolittle, the owner and operator of the Bear Butcha van, and wrote a great article about it. Look for more content from Caitlin starting in January on WacoBusinessNews.com. You're listening to Downtown Depot here on 103.3 KWBU FM. My guest today is Dan Ingham. Dan is the Vice President of Marketing and Comm for First National Bank of Central Texas. He wears a lot of different hats that we will discuss as we get into it. But first of all, welcome to Downtown Depot.
Man, it's awesome to be here. I'm a big fan of this show, so it's a thrill to get to come in here and be on it.
Well, I love having you here because shortly after I moved to Waco, when you were still at KWTX, yeah. Tyena and you had Julia and me on the show to talk about Pokios, and I love the symbiosis, you know. Finally we are here, you know, 2.5 years later in the studio. And
I remember it well. We just thought it was so cool that, you know, because at that, I mean, food trucks are a bigger deal now in Waco, but if you go back a couple years ago, that wasn't where it is now. So we're like, man, this is awesome. We got a ice cream sandwich food truck. That'd be a really cool segment on the morning show, because you're always looking for stuff that's new and different. When I was an anchor at KWTX on the morning show, you got 2 hours to fill, so you want interesting stuff. And so we were pumped to have you on the show. I think we got free ice cream out of it, too. So we were down with it.
So, Dan, tell me how you ended up here in Waco.
So I was working as a news reporter slash photographer slash sometimes sports fill-in anchor at KXII-TV. It's in Sherman, Texas, just kind of north of Dallas, near the Oklahoma-Texas border there. We covered, in fact, southern Oklahoma and north Texas. I had been there for about a year and a half out of college, but was looking for a full-time sports job, and a weekend sports anchor job opened up here at Channel 10 here in Waco. I applied for it and got the job, so that's what brought me here.
Did you have a background in athletics personally?
Yeah, I mean, I played basketball in high school and college. Not well, because I'm doing this, obviously, but I did that, and I just, you know, I always kind of thought at that point in my life that I wanted to do something around sports, and sports broadcasting kind of seemed like a natural fit. I really enjoyed it. I had a great mentor in college who kind of showed me how to do it, at least as best as I could learn at that point in my life, and I loved it.
And where were you in college?
Oklahoma State University. A guy named John Katsas was awesome. There's several of us who learned from him that are now doing different things in the world, but some have done quite well, and he was a heck of a mentor.
And were you pulled south of the Red River because of the job?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, now, not that long ago, but in 2001, when I graduated college, the way you got into TV was you started in a really small market, then moved your way up, kind of inched your way up. Things have changed now because you can create your own media. You can do your own – you can create a podcast or a radio show like you're doing here. The world has changed. There's a lot more opportunities for folks out of college. But then you had to start small and then move to a mid-sized market like Waco, then maybe move up to Austin. Then today you kind of – you went X, Y, Z. It was kind of – you filled a path. But so that was kind of my goal, was to keep on moving up at some point.
And where did you want to end up?
Gosh, I mean, I guess, you know – ultimately, I would have loved to have been on ESPN or something like that, but that wasn't necessarily my biggest dream. I wanted to end up at some point back in my hometown of Oklahoma City. And I had a couple opportunities. It just, the timing didn't work out. It's one of those, you know, what's the Garth Brooks song, Unanswered Prayers. Like, I almost took a job up there, and then I met my wife here, like, literally, like, months later. So it's funny how things work out. But that was always my dream, is to go back home and work in my hometown of Oklahoma City.
And the job with KWTX, you began at the station not as the morning anchor, but
correct.
You started, you know, further down the totem pole and
sure.
worked your way up.
Yeah, I was the weekend sports anchor for several years. That means on Saturday, Sunday, I would anchor the sports cast. Then, like, during the week, a few days a week, I would do sports reporting, do stories on local high school teams, Baylor, stuff like that. And so then in 2008, I transitioned into sports director, did that for several years, which is the weeknight anchor. And then in 2011, I really wasn't looking for it, but they came to me and said, hey, they had a need for the morning show. It hadn't been doing as well. Not that I was the savior by any means, but they needed a new...
We need a big personality.
Yeah, well, yeah, I fit that, I guess, yeah. And so they said, let's think about doing this. And I thought, we were about to have a kid at the time, and I was like, well, I wouldn't have to work weekends as much anymore. And so I went for it. And so I was a weekend or morning anchor for about 3 or 4 years there, yeah.
Well, that 5 to 7 time slot, I'm sure you're already up feeding the baby at 3:30 or 4 in the morning, just decide to roll over to the studio.
It's funny how many people I know that their wives would say, hey, I used to watch you when I was feeding our child, or, you know. So I think that was a big chunk of our viewership was insomniacs and moms feeding their babies.
What do you do to prepare for starting your work day at 5 a.m.? And it's not just show up to work at 5.
No.
It's you've got your makeup on. You are 100% ready to go.
Yeah, so I would get in at about 3 or so, 3 to 3:30, depending on how well-staffed we were at the time. And so you get in there, and there's an overnight producer who has the show kind of stacked at that point. And so what I would be doing would maybe help write a few scripts, and then you kind of have to go over everything because, you know, 2-hour show, I couldn't write it all. I mean, so the producer's writing most of it, but you've got to read it to make sure it's in your voice, the way I would say it. And truthfully, you might have some inexperienced producers who might need a little guidance. Hey, maybe we should tweak this a little bit, you know, or maybe this should be our top story. This was kind of a big deal, you know, because this guy had some institutional knowledge of what's going on in Central Texas. So you would try and help out as much in that way as you can. But you only have an hour and a half or so to do it.
Thinking back on your time at KWTX, what are some of the most memorable stories that you discussed, whether it was a guest coming on the show or I remember where we were when the biker shooting happened? What, when you think about that time, pops up?
For me, the first one's the Fort Hood shooting. Gosh, was it 2008, I want to say? That's awful. I can't remember the year, but I want to say 2008. I was still in sports at the time, but we heard over the scanners mass casualties, and it sounded real. You hear over scanners, police scanners, if you don't know what I'm talking about, and fire. That's one of the things. Every newsroom has one of those, so you can kind of hear what's going on, emergency calls. And we heard you could just tell it wasn't a drill. And so we're like, this sounds pretty serious. So we sent crews out to Fort Hood right away, and unfortunately, it was an awful, awful tragedy. But that day, and so I was a sports guy at the time, but I had been around long enough to know, like, you're not going to have a sports cast tonight. You're not really a big deal, which is fine. I mean, my gosh, in the scheme of things, sports was not a big deal. So I just started helping out with the news that day. But that was a pretty big day. And of course, then the West explosion was a really, really significant event, obviously.
Yeah, we had J.B. Smith on here a few months ago, and really, J.B. was an award-winning journalist because of the work that he put in there on the West story.
A lot of journalists like JB worked really hard there. That was one of those deals. I just came in because it happened around 8 or 9, I want to say. And once we got word, Tyena and I, we both just came in and said, we'll just pull an all-nighter. Because we knew that, I mean, there was a lot of work to be done. Because we pretty much were on the air continuously from the minute it happened till, you know, 8 a.m. the next morning, just news pretty much straight through. So that was – and adrenaline carries you through it. And, you know, it's one of those deals, like, as a news person, you enjoy getting to be the person communicating in those deals. But you're also like a human being. You're like 18, 19, 20 families just got rocked tonight. So it's hard balancing those two.
Well, it's so evocative when you are watching a truly seismic shift happen live. I remember watching the second tower fall September 2011. When you can see an anchor with the emotions really pouring out live. Or even if you're watching, you know, with a bit more levity, Saturday Night Live, and Kate McKinnon can't keep from laughing, like, you as an audience member want to participate in that.
There's people like human, people like real. That was an advice I always give reporters. You know, you're not putting on a show because it's not entertainment, but be yourself. The best reporters, anchors are people who are authentic, without a doubt.
How do you channel that authenticity? How do you make sure that whether it's prior in your time at KWTX or now with the First National Bank of Central Texas, how do you make sure that that salesmanship, quote unquote, kind of schmucky side stays in the closet and you can really be your true authentic self?
That's a really good question. I think some of it is experience and comfort in yourself and being feeling comfortable in the way you interact with folks. So I probably wasn't as comfortable with that 2002, you know, 23-year-old punk right out of college. I thought I had to be Anchorman, you know, and try. But, you know, so I think some of that is just comfort level. And some of that is some people are just born with a really great gift just to be themselves and be just so dang likable on air or not likable. Sometimes that goes over well, too, if you're trying to – if that's what you're going for. One of my – Rusty Garrett, you know, the weather guy who's been doing that for decades now at Channel 10. I mean, in real life, he's just like the person he is on air. And that's what makes him, you know, arguably the most popular anchor in Central Texas. I mean, so it's real if you have that kind of skill. It's big time. And people can tell, too.
Do you miss being there in the KWTX studios?
I miss my friends there. I miss big moments. You know what? But I don't, you know, I think I was ready for a change in my life. So I miss parts of it. I don't miss the whole waking up at 2:30 in the morning. And though at the time, you just kind of did it. People are always like, how did you wake up that early? Well, I wanted to make my mortgage this month, you know, like, exactly. So I went to work, you know, it's funny, you know, so it wasn't as bad as now that I'm out of it. I'm like, wow, how did I do that? But so yes and no, I miss a lot of good people over there. I enjoyed getting to meet the interesting people I would interview. But I get to meet a lot of interesting people in my job now too. So overall I would say no is the answer to that, but I'm not putting Channel 10 down at all. I worked there for 12 years and have great relationships with the folks who are still there. In fact, still work for them a little bit, do a little side work for them. So,
well, you certainly have kept your foot in the media game.
Yeah.
You call play-by-play for Baylor softball.
Man, that's a blast. That is as fun as it gets for me. I mean, so this will be my third year. It starts in a couple months. Baylor softball, I do play-by-play. Not every game, all their home games and some of the road games. Games that I can't do on the road, the sports information director, Jonathan Hill, fills in. And then all the postseason games. And there's something about unscripted that's just a lot of fun. So, and lucky me, Baylor's really good at softball. And so it's a lot more fun when you've got a good team. Like this year, I can say we because I feel okay with that.
You're on the team
now.
Yeah,
well, you know, yeah. I didn't help it get any home runs or anything. But we made it to the World Series. And I got to call the game in Arizona that clinched the World Series berth, and it was an incredible game. Baylor was down to the sixth inning, hit a big home run that gave him the lead for good and sent him to the World Series on Arizona's home field. Get to call a game like that on the radio. Are you kidding me? I mean, it was
that's what you dreamed of doing.
Are you kidding me?
When
it was awesome.
College.
It was so much fun. And they're like, oh, they pay me. Cool. You know, it's awesome.
I always felt that when I was at A&M covering the football team and basketball, and I just got paid, you know, $25, whatever the price was. I got paid to eat hot wings and watch the Aggie football team.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it?
You have those little moments of clarity. It's like, man, this is pretty cool.
It's not lost on me, and I've been doing it a long time. That I got to do some really cool stuff with my job.
How does the prep change for a live event like a Baylor softball game versus when you were doing a morning show?
You can do more of the prep for a Baylor softball ahead of time. I mean, not always, but like, say, news, I mean, it's different every day. Yes, you do long-term planning and, hey, Tuesday we're going to have this guest on, Wednesday we're going to have this guest. But a lot of times I wouldn't know what's going to be in the show until I came in at 3 in the morning. Obviously, if you follow the news the day before, you would have an idea of what was going to be on it. But with softball, I know when Baylor softball is going to play. I know who they're playing, so I can do a lot of the prep work ahead of time, which is nice.
You're listening to Downtown Depot here on 103.3 KWBU FM. My guest today is Dan Ingham, play-by-play caller for Baylor softball, former morning anchor of KWTX and currently at First National Bank of Central Texas. What precipitated the move from the media into banking?
You know, I knew at some point that I may make a switch. I had no idea what that was going to be. I thought it might be something in public relations, which I'm sort of in that realm now. But I guess it would be the summer of 2015. Our chairman of the board, in fact, the man who started the bank, Monty Hulse, I was actually driving home to Oklahoma. I get a call out of the blue. Hey, Dan, this is Monty Hulse. Can we have lunch sometime? And I was like, all right, sure. Like, I mean, I was actually a customer at the bank. I was like, man, it's good customer service here. I mean, because I wasn't one of their big customers, you know. But we talked about it, and the man who was in my role was going to be retiring, Jim Haller, who's still very active in this community. And so they kind of wanted to do a little planning for the future. And he laid out a kind of vision for what the job would be, and I bought in. I was all in. I knew that his reputation was outstanding in this community, and then for him to ask me to come work for him was pretty awesome. So I jumped at it.
What has changed at First National Bank of Central Texas since you started working there?
Oh gosh. Well, I think that we've just, like any other business, we've had to adapt to a changing environment. Whether that's advertising that's digital in nature. Whether it's maybe some new products or new ideas that might try and reach a younger generation, because like any business, everyone in the world is trying to figure out how to get millennials. That's kind of the buzzword every business. But so you kind of have to find that what works for us. But I think that's probably the biggest change, that is we've tried to be a little more digital. I know it's kind of broad, but in the way we handle things, whether with online banking or mobile banking. Or with our advertising.
We've seen a lot of local brands recently, particularly in the banking sector,
sure,
partnering with outside content creators to get more people to know who they are. For instance, very successfully recently, ExtraCo Banks has a sponsorship with the country music artist Holly Tucker.
Yeah.
Who
She's awesome.
Baylor is a fabulous musician and ambassador for Waco. But so they had Holly go around to Waco ISD and various businesses and sing and kind of get people in the Christmas spirit.
I think that, yeah, I saw that was a great, hey, you know, I'll be the first to tip my cap at another bank on a good idea, and that's a great idea.
Well, and you guys.
What a nice thing to do for a business. Hey, we're going to come sing Christmas music, you know?
Exactly. And you guys have a similar partnership with the Waco Tribune Herald
and
putting together the Greater Waco Economic Index Forum that happens every month.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. We've been doing that. You know, I don't want to – at least 5 years. I couldn't tell you the exact number because it started before I got there. But once a month, we partner with the Waco Tribune Herald and the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce. And we get together about 8, 9, 10 business leaders from around the community. And the Waco Chamber presents kind of the latest economic numbers to the group. And then we kind of have a roundtable discussion, and it's – you get some smart people in the room together. They can all talk about, hey, here's some issues I'm seeing, or, hey, what about these numbers, or why is retail spending flat here? And we all kind of talk about it, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, the truth is I've been doing them about 2 years now, and there hasn't been a single one of them where I didn't come away learning something. So just – I still have that reporter in me. So to be a good reporter, you got to be really curious about stuff, sometimes nosy, to be honest with you. And I still have a little of that in me. So I come out of these thinking, man, I just learned something kind of cool, you know. So it's fun to have that knowledge, and we have a blast doing them. It's a great way to get our customers in there, people who aren't customers from the bank. It doesn't matter. Just get good, smart people in a room together, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, I was very grateful to be a part of that group.
Speaking
last
of good,
week.
Smart people, yeah.
But it really was a terrific overview of everything that's happening in Waco. And I have to be honest, I get a little insulated in downtown, and I'm
sure.
Very up on what's happening here. But to go there and learn about what's happening in the towing industry in Waco, or hospice care, or to hear about why home prices in this zip code are higher now than they were last year. That was really informative for me and really helped me realize that, you know, Waco is a lot bigger. Even though my focus is downtown, there is a ton happening in Central Texas.
You talk to someone who lives in that Hewitt-Woodway area, they would say, heck yeah, a lot's going on. I mean, there's, gosh, I'd say 4 or 5 big neighborhoods going up in that area with filling a need, too, frankly, in this market for more housing. We didn't have enough, but it's exciting to see everything popping up. And like you said, it's not just one area. There's lots of areas where things are happening or not happening, but it's good to have that info.
And that's kind of a fun part of town there on Valley Mills. It's sort of been dubbed as the banking district.
Heck yeah.
It's sort of in retaliation of the silo district. We've got our own banks.
Yeah.
But that stretch of Valley Mills there really has kind of perked up.
Yeah, and that's good for all of us because that would be a part of town that could easily some of those shopping centers, if they go to disrepair, I mean, could go downhill quickly if we're not careful, you know, that part of town. Because a lot of the buildings are not as new, you know, that kind of deal. So, but it's a great part of town. There's a lot of people who live in that area, a lot of great banks in that area, good restaurants along Valley Mills Drive. So, yeah, it's selfishly, I live in that part of town too. So I want to see it do well.
Well, FNBCT is doing its part to make sure that the businesses in Waco do well by partnering with a lot of small business owners. We have a lot of the listenership of Downtown Depot interested in small business, and maybe it's someone who has been a little nervous to really roll the dice on that big idea. But there are advocates like FNBCT who want to partner with people who, hey, you've got an idea, you've got the motivation, let us put together the working capital and make it a reality.
Well, and not only that, and I'll say this about our bank. You could get this at a lot of banks because we've got some great banks in this community. Obviously, I'm biased towards ours. But, you know, these are one of those things I don't know that I knew that well 3 years ago before I really got into banking. Like, yes, you've got a banker who can get you the money and make a credit decision, but they also have some expertise too. They know good business practices. I mean, so you're kind of getting you're getting the loan, but along with it, you're getting a really smart lender who knows business and knows what's good, what's bad. And sometimes we've told, you know, some of the decisions, it'll be like, no, maybe you should wait a year on this. And they'll be like, yeah, you were right. And they come back a year later when they're more financially strong and ready to rock and roll or get a better deal or whatever. They'll realize it was a smart decision. That's not fun because a lender wants to make loans. That's what they're in their DNA. But we've got people who have the customer's best idea at heart. And most banks are like that, too, frankly. A lot of good people in banking.
I mean, it doesn't do the bank any good if you default on the loan.
No, we don't want to be in real estate. Like we don't want – that's not good.
In your position at FNBCT as the marketing and communications vice president, what skills translate from your time in broadcasting?
Communicating. You know, in a broadcast, that's a big overall communication is the biggest one that translates well. If in a broadcast, I've got to effectively communicate a story to the viewers. Well, now I have to effectively communicate our mission, our message to consumers. So that's those skills translate. Now, the way you do it might be different, but the same basic the idea of being a communicator is probably the biggest thing that translates.
What is Christmas going to look like for the Ingham family in Waco?
Oh, man. Let's see here. We've done most of our shopping here. We're actually going up to the Gaylord Texan, if you're familiar with it, up in Grapevine. We're meeting my family from Oklahoma. So all 12 of us will be in a few rooms up there with about 10,000 other people. But it's fun. They have a big it's this huge convention hall that's like 10 degrees, no joke. And they have these ice sculptures and stuff. And ice slides you go down. So we're doing that this weekend. And then Christmas weekend, my wife is from here in Waco, and we'll just stay here and be with her family.
Well, Dan, I wish you and your family a Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for coming on Downtown Depot.
Austin, thank you very much. Merry Christmas to you.
Thanks again to Dan and to Jed Cole of Waco Hat Company. And thanks to you for wrapping up your 2017 with me here on KWBU. I wish you all the happiest of holidays and can't wait to talk next year at our new time slot at 11:30 a.m. I'm Austin Meek with WacoBusinessNews.com, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.